Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Who wants cream? Nobody? Okay, no cream.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Whoa, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Armin Katan is going to join us. He wrote a book on Sonny Vaccaro, who is still indeed alive.
Still alive. We have confirmed still alive.
I don't know why Swag wanted to do that to him. He's an all-time hoops legend, and he just wrote him off.
What's your deal, man? Come on. I'm killing people off this morning.
He's a hater. That's what he is. He's a hater. We'll talk with him. It's 7:30 today for the Daily Ticker on his new book, which I dove into yesterday. It's quite interesting. There's a blurb in one of the chapters that I want to ask Armin about and how it impacts what we see around here locally. I did not ask you this yesterday, but that open just reminded me the Happy Gilmore 2 trailer came out.
Happy Gilmore 2 trailer's here.
Set to be released on Netflix.
Yes.
General thoughts or feelings of the first trailer that we saw?
I mean, look, I'm going to watch it because it's Happy Gilmore and it's on Netflix. It's not something I need to go see in theaters, so I can watch it at any time that I want in the convenience of my own home. It will be on my television at some point. My expectations are incredibly low. I'm going into it knowing that the movie's going to suck and hoping to be positively surprised. When you have a character that's been gone for that long, you try and reprise it, bring it all back together. I feel like 98% of the time, these movies just flop flat on their face. I don't blame them for trying to make it. It's a nice payday for everybody involved. What's Shooter McGavin been up to the last 25 years? Not a whole lot.
Do we really care what Shooter McGavin's been up to?
He's got a nice little payday coming out of this, so that's why they're making it. The movie's going to probably suck, but I will be watching it in the hopes that I'm wrong on that take and end up being surprised.
It's the last movie you were wrong on that was good.
Well, that's a good question because I don't watch a lot of movies. I'm probably a bad person to ask on that category. But people did this, I know, with Top Gun's one of the rare examples of a movie that was gone for so long. Oh. You bring it back, everybody's like, why are we making another Top Gun?
I clowned it on the air live. This can't be good.
And then people saw it and they're like, so oh my good. God, it's better than the first one.
It might be the best movie of all time.
It's a cinematic masterpiece.
It was so good.
So I don't think Happy Gilmore 2 is going to quite be that, but I will watch it because it's golf and it's Happy Gilmore.
Well, we're inching closer and closer to the summer box office with Brandon.
We are.
Coming up on the program this summer.
I can't wait.
There's a movie coming at the end of June that I really wish you guys would go see in theaters.
What is it? What's it called?
It's a Brad Pitt F1 movie.
Ah, is he a driver?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, F1 baby.
Shot by the same guy who made Top Gun Maverick. I'm just telling you. It's only going to be good in the theaters.
Now, is it a fictional F1 driver, or is it based on an actual F1 driver?
Does that matter?
Kinda.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a fictional.
Okay.
In on it?
I might be. I just...
But not fictional, you aren't?
No. Different...
I don't know if the driver's real or not.
Okay.
I know he's real in the movie, damn it.
It's real to me.
And that's all that matters. Yeah, I saw the trailer and I thought,
Are we down with the Rami Malek movie coming out?
I don't know. Lawrence Fishburne
is in it, which gives me hope.
I don't know where I'm at on Rami Malek.
Yeah, it says F1. I'm trying to see.
I think it's June 27th.
It's coming out.
I'm trying to plot how to like celebrate my wife and then like a week later go with my dad to see that movie.
It does not look like it's based on real people.
I think it's just an F1.
Okay. He's just an F1.
Go look at the trailer, man. Oh, yeah. It looks so intense.
I mean, that's definitely a movie with that level of noise and action that you are going to want to see on a big screen.
Yeah, I don't know who was clamoring for Happy Gilmore 2.
I don't think anybody was. I just think it's what Adam Sandler can do. I don't think there's anybody who has the ability to make whatever Adam movie he wants to make.
But
Adam,
he hasn't done that with other movies. He could have made a Billy Madison Part 2. Has not chose to do
he
it.
Made 17 grown-ups.
He did three of those. Yeah.
Did anybody ever watch those?
He did Hubie Halloween.
He did. He did a Western movie. Yeah. He does whatever he wants. He is an open book contract from Netflix, whatever movie you want to do.
I'm a big Adam Sandler fan and supporter. I was happy to see him at the Oscars. I'm saying, why did it get greenlit? What made him say, I got to make this? I think it was a tweet. I think it was the tweet. When he filmed himself teeing off like Happy Gilmore and said, you better watch out, shooter.
I'm coming for you.
And he actually killed the ball, and then he hit stop on the record, and then the actor who plays Shooter McGavin responded. I think two tweets made him feel like he had to make that movie.
I think he just says, why the hell not? I'll do whatever the hell I want. I'm Adam Sandler. What a great life that guy's lived.
The best.
Like, just...
the best.
Whatever. Just make movies with your buddies about whatever. It doesn't matter how many of them are good, how many of them flop.
Get them all paid.
Guess what? The next year, you just make another movie. I want to do a Western now. All right, let's go do a Western. I'm going to do a scary movie now. Okay.
Choose the hottest lady to be your
Jen Aniston is now my wife.
He went Drew Barrymore, Jen Aniston, Selma Hayek.
He did. He's got a legendary run.
What's the actress? The model, Justin Verlander's now wife.
Oh, Kate Upton.
He did Kate Upton, right? Yeah. Like, dude.
Living a hell of a life.
Great life.
One person said Gladiator 2 was great. I never saw Gladiator 2.
Mm.
So I can't confirm nor deny that. But
I mean, look,
that was another one that waited a long time.
Also a little different from the original in the sense of like... Russell Crowe not being the main character.
A little bit different. Somebody said the Mad Max movies were 30 years apart.
I enjoyed the Mad Max, yeah.
Yeah, but those ones are a little bit different, though, if I'm not mistaken, because that wasn't the same cast, right? Or were there similar people in it? Wasn't it just like they did Dune? It was just a new Dune? Was it Mad Max similar to that?
I think there was a couple carryover characters.
Okay.
But for the most part, a new cast.
It's just kind of like, let's just do the movie again, basically. And that's what these ones are a little bit different. It's a Happy Gilmore 2. It's not Mad Max 2.
Yeah, I think the expectations need to be set low for this one.
They're
going to
be low. The bar is very low.
And it's also a Netflix release. I don't know. I saw the trailer and I'm like, eh. I thought him and Shooter might team up to take on Liv. I thought that might be the twist.
Oh, that's going to be the premise?
That would be a funny
premise.
They're
going to be Bryson and Brooks.
Yeah, basically
him and
like
Shooter.
Being brought in, like, you guys got to partner up now. We need you to take down Liv. And then like, oh, what? I don't want to. And then they become friends and you end up liking Shooter McGavin.
I wonder if they're going to play a tournament in Portland, Oregon in Happy Gilmore 2 like they did in Happy Gilmore 1. That was one of his first, I think the first big tournament he enters is in Portland, Oregon.
Is it Portland, Oregon or Portland, Maine?
I don't know if they say Oregon. I'm just going to lean out on a limb and say we're going to claim that. I'm claiming that. That's
I think
us.
The East Coast calls it Maine.
I'm going to go ahead and claim that bad
That's
boy.
Too bad.
People don't play golf in Portland, Maine.
I want to get to this. Can Dirt and Beaver Fan become united on an issue? And I want to talk about the decision that one Oregon Duck made for himself with the NFL draft because... caught the attention of a lot of people in the draft world. So we'll get to that coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to try to unite Beaver Fan and Dirt. Before I do that, quickly, something that you both would enjoy out of this one. The Washington Huskies baseball team lost to Pacific Lutheran yesterday. That's a D3 school.
The Mighty Lutes.
I did see at least their women's team made the tournament for the first time in like 8 years. So they're good in one sport.
Yeah, the Fighting Kelsey Plums.
They do, the Fighting Kelsey Plums.
I think I can unite you with Beaver Fan.
Let's come together.
Who tends to hate you for the hat you wear. Did you see Jonathan Smith, Michigan State's head coach, come out and basically say... we are not doing a spring game. We are going to jump on that wave. And part of the reason is he does believe they're going to get poached because all the D1 teams are taking his good players.
They're going to take all my players.
He's very concerned about losing his good players in East Lansing.
Do they have any good players? Do they have anybody that's worth? I mean, we took their best player last year, Derek Harmon. Thank you. Do they got anybody else that's left? I don't. Anybody clamming for Aiden Childs after the year he had last year? I don't think people are climbing up a wall to go get that guy.
I think he'd be good.
It's a little bit ugly. There's still hope. There's still optimism, but it wasn't like he tore the world off, the cover off the ball last year. The funny thing and the irony in all this is, do you know when the spring transfer portal window is from? Do you know what the dates are?
I don't know the exact dates.
Okay, I'll let you know.
It's the back half of April, right?
The exact dates of the spring transfer window that you have to enter by, you have this window of time to enter the portal, is April 16th through April 25th. Mm. That is your stretch. Do you know when Oregon's spring game is?
I don't.
It's April 26th. Window's closed. Mm. You know when Washington's spring game is? May 2nd. Closed. Schedule it after the window closes. If this is such a terrifying thing to you, you're going to lose your team, just push it back a week. Schedule it in May. There's no rules and limitations on when you can or cannot have a spring game. Every program just makes this up as they go. That's the funny irony in all of this is a lot of these teams are actually playing their games after the window is closed. That is a possibility. You don't have to play it on the 15th, and then the portal opens up
on
the 16th.
Do you really think this is about the portal, or is this about not wanting guys to get hurt and they're tired of running a spring game?
I don't know. I think some of it is probably they don't want guys to have a good performance and come to them and say, hey, look at that. I killed it. Now pay me more money.
But that's the world they're operating in.
That's the world we live in.
Always going to be there.
If he comes out and scores two touchdowns in your first game, what do you think he's going to say? His agent's going to call you and say, hey, give me some more money and NIL money.
We had a quarterback quit on a really good football team last year because he didn't get paid.
They still damn near went to the playoff. They were a game away from going to the college football playoff.
Right, but I actually think that's going to become a regular thing. It might not be with a big name player.
Yeah.
But you're going to get a guy that has a great fall camp and then goes, yeah, actually, I'm not going to play for you this year. I'm going to get into the portal.
Yeah.
And look, you can argue whether that's good or bad, but I kind of find that excuse or reasoning for why they're not doing it lame.
I
don't care about spring football games.
No.
But if you're going to do it the way Dion wants to do it. And I saw this from Jonathan Smith yesterday and I just went, God. Year two, man. Feels like it's a pretty big year for you right now.
And it's because they had 48 people in the crowd and it was raining and it was ugly and they had a bad first year and he doesn't want another bad showing. Let's hold off on this until August or September if we can. I genuinely feel in my bones, deep down in my loins, I don't understand why you would want to rob your team from a chance to prep and get better. I just can't wrap my head around that.
Says they're going to do other team activities to entertain fans.
7-on-7 football, baby, because that gets you ready for real football where you can't hit anybody. And
that's basically what Oregon State's going to do.
Offensive or defensive linemen. Yeah. You're a Big Ten team. You got a lot of money to spend. You should have the numbers available. You've hit the portal hard. You've stolen guys from other programs. I can't wrap my head around it. And I'm glad that Oregon State fan got a chance to chuckle. Look, we get overreactionary sometimes, and maybe this is crazy. You have a bad year one in college football as head coach. All of a sudden, eyeballs are on you for year two. Like, he's not going to get fired next year.
Was that a bad year one for Michigan State?
I would say based off the expectations and what their previous coach accomplished, getting to a college football playoff and having them be relevant more years than they were not. Like, I think we sleep on how good Michigan State was for an extended period of time.
Talking about the Mel Tucker era?
Not the Mel Tucker, the D'Antoni era.
Well, yeah, it's a coach removed.
Or D'Antonio? I always get those two confused.
I think it's D'Antonio.
And Mel Tucker was there for such a short amount of time that I don't even know if I can call that an era. What was it, 2 years, 3 years? And then he, you know, did his whole thing and he got for it.
What was D'Antonio's first year at Michigan State?
And, well, Mel Tucker had a 10-win season, first off. So he did have a good year. Mm-hmm. Let me see here.
He also got handed it off from D'Antonio. And I know
did.
A lot of that was half portal stuff.
So D'Antonio had wins in 2010. He won 11 games, 2011.
His first year,
he went 7-6. He took over for a 4-8 coach, and he went 7-6 and went to a bowl game. He won 9 games in year 2. And then he won 11 games in year 4, then 11 again, had a 13-win season where they went to the Rose Bowl, an 11-win season to the Cotton Bowl, a 12-win season where they made it to the college football playoff.
They were 5-7 this year, correct?
They were 5-7 this year. 3-6. So if you go 5-7 again, I'm just telling like this. That's going to heat
they
up.
Fire him?
I'm not saying they're going to fire him. I'm saying every Michigan State fan wants him fired.
Well, I feel
doesn't
like
mean that they will. But if he goes 5-7 again, that's exactly how they're going to react.
Based
to this.
On reading the Reddit pages on recruiting, it feels like they're already there.
They're livid. They don't think he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's not recruiting at a high level. He's not bringing in a lot of guys in the transfer portal. He doesn't have the connections locally. A lot of the criticisms that people made when he took that job are coming to fruition when you're in. Now, you give them time. I'm going to give them 3 years, but this is the world we operate in, man. You have the ability now to turn things around quickly. Kurt Cignetti took over Indiana. It's an unfair comparison, but I know their fan base is doing it and saying, wait a minute, that guy just came in year one and took his team to the college football playoff.
Was their schedule easier, though, Indiana's?
Without a doubt. Indiana had the easiest schedule in all college football. That was a huge part of why they were there in the playoff. But I'm not saying that it's a rational
thought. But it is Indiana.
It's the fans that are looking at it. Nebraska fans doing this. Like, wait, Matt Rhule's been here for year two. We won 6 games this year? This guy's at Indiana. He went 11-1 and beat us by 50? That's not how this is supposed to work.
I saw the AAC is getting ahead of the salary cap stuff. Did you see that last night?
I didn't know. What's the AAC up to?
They're basically making all their schools commit $10 million over a 3-year span.
Ah.
Now, how you disperse the $10 million for your paid players is up to each school. You could go $2 million 1 year, $3 million the second, $5 the third, but you got to get to $10 million. They're just anticipating the judgment that's coming down on this.
Likely going to begin this summer.
And so they think it's, for them, it's going to be around $10 million. And so they're getting ahead of it now and saying, hey, you got to spend it. We got floors to meet here. Pay the players.
We got to pay the players. This is how it's going to work. It's going to come directly from the schools.
One paid player that is about to get paid by the National Football League. I don't know what round he's going to get paid in, but we got these local pro days, the Oregon State pro days. You ever been to a pro day?
I've never been to a pro day. No, I never went to one when I was in Eugene.
They're very interesting. I've been to a couple Oregon State ones. It's been a long time, but fascinating to watch. You just guys in underwear with no shirts.
NFL GMs and scouts everywhere.
Everywhere. It's like, hey, get on this bench. Let's go! Let's go! And the scouts are just sitting there with their clipboards. Oh, me only benched 225 9 times.
Jotting down notes.
You know, it's an odd thing, but it's supportive. It's interesting to be at.
A lot of former players will come back to
this. A lot
of them, I know that was a case at Oregon yesterday.
Quarterbacks will throw. Old receivers will come back for the quarterback. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Anyways, the pro days are going on. Tez Johnson's interesting.
Very.
Is he a Tank Dell? Is he a Tyler Lockett? Is he a guy who can't hang in the league for longer than 2 seasons? I don't know. I don't know what Tez Johnson's going to be. But at the combine, he logged a 4.51 40.
Horrible for a guy of his stature.
Yep. I've watched him play. He's football fast,
yes,
is how
he is.
I would describe Tez Johnson. And Tez Johnson has opted not to improve that 40 time.
No, he said, no, I'm not going to run it again.
He said, I'm not running this again. The 40 doesn't prove anything. It's not even a big part of the football. Give me the pads and basically I'll show you how fast I am.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, the waves, it's not like big waves, but it created some waves in the draft world yesterday of some people saying, man, what a bad decision. Where's your competitive spirit? To, yeah, who cares about the 40 time? Can you play football? Can you catch? Can you break away from a guy? I tend to lean on the latter there. I wouldn't care about the 40 at all, and I'm surprised to see Tez Johnson do this, but I was happy he decided to do it.
I mean, you're not wrong. It did create a bit of a headline wave, if you will. This was picked up by a lot of the aggregators, Pro Football Talks writing about it. I'm like, wow, we're doing stories on Tez Johnson and his pro day, not running the 40 time. Okay, I didn't know that was national news. I actually had a deep level of respect for this. He's going to be a late-round pick. He's a flyer. He's weighs 148 pounds, soaking wet.
Yeah.
He's a guy that you're just like, you know what? He's there in the sixth round, fifth round, seventh round. Like, let's see what we got. Maybe he's going to be great. If he goes out at the pro day yesterday, then he runs a 4.43. Is he all of a sudden going to be a third round pick or a second round pick? No. He's 5'8", 147 pounds. So running a slightly faster 40 time, I don't think it's going to shoot him up from a sixth-round pick to a third-round pick and make him millions of dollars. Maybe it settles some NFL teams' fears on him, but I don't think it's going to change his draft stock at all. And so I had a deep level of respect for it. Like, screw you. I'm fast. I had the fastest, whatever, the cone, shuttle, whatever crap they do there.
Yeah.
He had the quickest one of the entire...
three-cone.
The three-cone drill. Yeah. He was the fastest. I've seen the guy play football. He runs away from everybody.
Do you think Tank Dell is fast? When I say Tank Dell in your mind, do you think Tank Dell is fast?
I do think fast.
Tank Dell's 40-yard time was 4.49.
So it's not that different.
I mean,
4.52 and 4.49
like
is eight.
The difference between
two one hundredths of a second.
Yes. That's the difference here. We're talking. About.
That's like one fart at the 8 yard mark, and all of a sudden you're a 4.49 because it gave you a boost.
That just that's what we're talking about here. So if you think Tank Dell is fast, Tez Johnson's fast.
He's
also,
fast.
We watch.
If there's
him play.
A team that likes Tez based on all his tape and everything else,
Denver,
then they will take him.
I did.
If Bo gets his way, Bo's going to have Tez Johnson in the fifth, sixth
I thought
round.
About making a lot of those jokes because Bo and Justin Herbert were both back at Pro Days yesterday. Uh-huh. And the reason they were there was because they were supporting their brothers. I saw a lot of those tweets. They're supporting their brothers. Wait, yeah, did you guys know that? Did you guys know?
Patrick and Tez.
You know Tez and Bo? Tez and Bo? Did you know that?
Is Patrick Herbert going to be in the NFL?
No.
No. That was a really quick no.
I don't. Thinks
I don't think he's no.
he's not
he's not
gonna
drafted.
Get drafted. He's with 100% certainty he will not be drafted.
Blocking tight end.
Maybe I mean he'll get a tryout. I'm sure
he'll
a lot of these guys get tryouts.
Somewhere. He
will not be drafted.
Kickoff.
If I'm Justin Herbert,
guy,
I'm pulling LeBron.
Yeah,
I want
doing
Bronny
one of those.
Here. Go get Patrick. Yeah. I want Patrick here.
Get him on our practice squad, man. Let him come hang out at training camp.
I need a bunk mate. I want him to be my brother.
I think the UFL is screaming Patrick's name.
No.
I don't think he has UFL written all over him. He seems like he's one of those, like, if it doesn't work out, I think he's
is he
smart
also a scientist?
Yeah. I would imagine he's going to do just fine for himself.
Probably,
go
yeah.
back and coach high school football at Sheldon. Go do that for 20 years.
Coming up next, a very interesting figure, and it kind of brings up local stuff here. Sonny Vaccaro, for a long time, worked for Nike. And he's basically one of the biggest names to ever exist in basketball history. Armand Cattayan wrote a memoir of Sonny Vaccaro, and he is going to join us to talk about that for the Daily Ticker. Next, don't forget we got Statter Story at 8:15 and a FUPdate at 8:30. We'll get to Armand Cattayan next.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is powered by Pelican Brewing. Take a break with Pelican's Beak Breaker, the Northwest's favorite double IPA. Pelican Brewing Company. Cheers, fellow fanatics.
The brackets are set. The madness is here. Pelican Brewing is ready for tip-off. Today's Daily Ticker brought to you by the independent, innovative brewers of the Oregon Coast. Excited for this one today. As friend of the show, he's an author who has six New York Times best-selling books. Joining us again, Armand Cattayan. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Armand Cattayan. His latest book is called Legends and Souls, the memoir of Sonny Vaccaro. And first off, good morning to you, Armand. Thanks for the time on the show. I've always been fascinated by the writing process. I don't feel like I have the patience or energy to actually go in through, you know, all the way through the process of writing a book. I'm fascinated by the idea of what sparks the flame in your mind of, like, this is something that I want to dive fully into. And how was it working with Sonny? Like, just that whole process of saying, this is the next project that I want to try and tackle.
Well, that's interesting. That's a really good question, Andy. I think it depends on the book. If it's a nonfiction book that I'm doing myself, or collaborating with somebody like Jeff Benedict when we did the Tiger Woods book and The System, or even more recently with John Talty, a book called The Price, which is a deep dive into the chaos in college football now. I think it's kind of burning curiosity. It's like, okay, it's big picture. It's kind of landscape that I want to play in. I can put my reporting skills and the access that I've built up over time with programs or people to really dive into things and go inside out. In collaborations in memoirs like with Sonny or Billy Walters, the legendary sports gambler, it's really finding their voice and being sort of a vehicle to help them tell their story the way they want to tell it. And, you know, fortunately with Sonny, I've known him for going on 40 years, dating back to his early days at Nike. In another book I did with Alexander Wolf called Raw Recruits, which was a deep dive into the state of summer league basketball. So it helps if you have a relationship, because I knew you know, a lot of Sonny's life. But honestly, in working with him on this book, there were parts of the book or parts of his life I was like, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And that was, you know, that was the fun of it. But it's a, you know, it's a labor of love in a lot of ways. If you don't connect with the person, I think that you see that in the writing in the book. And fortunately, as I said, Sonny and I have had, you know, respect for each other and a, you know, and a friendship for a long time.
Yeah, reading this, some of the chapters that we got via the PDF, Armin, I was fascinated. There was a blurb in one of the chapters when Sonny is basically becoming a Nike employee. He flies out here, he gives his ideas, his thoughts, and it's a cross between Phil Knight thinking one thing and Sonny Vaccaro thinking another. And one thing that stuck out was when Vaccaro basically was like, you got to pay the coaches to get the kids to wear the shoes. And Phil Knight goes, isn't that illegal? And he goes, no.
And no, it's not.
What struck me about that, Armin, was just reading the fact that Phil Knight at that point is like, wait, we can do that. And now you look at Oregon and the facilities and everything Phil Knight is as a donor in the college landscape. And at that point, I wonder, did that get the gears turning in Phil Knight's head of like, wait, what can I do then in college athletics? Because Oregon is taking off.
I think it did. I mean, Sonny put his, you know, you go back to even with Jordan, where he put his job on the line when they made this phenomenal decision, and Phil blessed it to sign Michael. But imagine going in, you know, as you said, Sonny goes in with a bunch of shoes that were literally made by a shoemaker in Trafford, Pennsylvania, and he thinks he's going to sell them an idea for a new pair of shoes. And no, and Rob Strasser had a vision, as Sonny did. And then you basically say, yeah, we're going to pay the coaches. And then, you know, that those scenes to me are so cinematic. And that's what I love about writing books like this, is because you can literally put the reader inside a conference room with Phil Knight and Rob Strasser, who are the marketing genius, and Peter Moore, the creative director, and Sonny, this guy from, you know, Western Pennsylvania that Phil's looking at going, did we do a background check on this guy? Can we make sure that he's actually, you know, worthy of employing? So to me, that was, you know, Sonny's life is built around the word improbable. And when you think of, you go back to the round ball classic, you go back to paying coaches, you go back to the Jordan deal, you go back to the O'Bannon landmark lawsuit. So much of Sonny's life has been as a visionary, but then having the courage and having people like Phil and Rob and Peter to believe in his vision and back his vision. And you're right. I mean, Nike now, Oregon, you know, they're at the top of the food chain in the NIL market. And without, you know, without Phil's support and his belief in that stuff, you know, Oregon is just another university.
Yeah. Well, as an Oregon alum, I want to thank Sonny Vaccaro, if he's the one who got the ball rolling on Phil donating more money to the athletic facilities, because it's been a lot of fun to watch. Armin Katan is our guest. His latest book, Legends and Souls, the memoirs of Sonny Vaccaro, who I think Armin was back, obviously, in the forefront of people's minds when the Air movie came out, whatever that was, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And everybody, you know, kind of people started thinking about him again. And it's like, oh, that's right. This guy who had this big role with Nike and helped launch Jordan and all that stuff. You mentioned a few moments ago that there were a handful of stories that popped out to you, because I feel like there is a lot of his, you know, general backstory that is well known at this point. I don't want to share all of them, but I'm just curious, one or two of them that you're like, wait, what? That the things that kind of stood out when you were going through this process with Sonny, of things that maybe you didn't know.
Well, I would start with the Billy Packer story in the 84 Olympics, where Phil is trying to decide whether he's going to go all in on Michael, where there's a big difference of opinion. Howard Schlesinger, who was then advising Phil, a big time attorney and an agent, they wanted to go and spread what little money they had. Nike, as you know, was not doing well in 84. They were on the verge of bankruptcy, and they were an also ran in the shoe market. And there's this moment where Sonny says, look, we got to go all in on this one guy, this Michael Jordan. Sonny puts his job on the line. But Phil's still not convinced. And then Billy Packer has a dinner with Phil at the 84 Olympics after they're over at the Nike Beach Bash. It's a great scene. And Billy Packer, I worked with Billy. I did 7 Final Fours. And, you know, if you ask Billy a question, you're going to get an answer. And it's not going to be maybe the answer you want to hear, but it's going to be an honest answer. And in that scene where Billy is telling Phil what he's witnessed watching the Olympic team win a gold medal and what Bobby Knight said to him, that Michael Jordan's going to be one of the great players in the history of the game, you know, that's a moment I didn't even know existed. I didn't know Billy had a role at all in Phil's ultimate decision to say, okay, it's up. And then this is sort of Phil. He's inscrutable in that way. You know, he doesn't really say, okay, I'm giving you my blessing. He says, okay, go do what you want to do. And I'll see what the fallout is. And, you know, in terms of what they did, it was just game changing, life changing, industry changing. I mean, it turned Nike into a global giant. And so there's that. You know, I think the story behind, you know, Sonny basically, by the time he had left, as you know, Nike and went to Adidas and then Reebok, he's 67 years old when he walks away from hundreds of thousands of dollars a year from Reebok and goes on this knight-errant quest to take on the NCAA over the issue of fairly compensating the workforce that it was then responsible and still responsible for billions of dollars. And I didn't really know all the details of, A, how he got Ed O'Bannon, but B, how he was able to convince Michael Hosfeld, one of the top antitrust lawyers in the world, to take on this case. And ultimately, as you guys know, that O'Bannon lawsuit became the Alston case, which now is mm-hmm. the House case, which became the Supreme Court, unanimous Supreme Court ruling, that opened the floodgates to NIL. So, and just for the last thing, it's just like what Sonny's life was like in West Trafford. I didn't really remember or know how he was a great high school athlete and how he ended up in junior college in California and getting into the basketball world, coaching and then doing these first the All-Star game and then obviously the ABCD camp that Nike funded. So yeah. I just love doing it because I think from a reader's perspective, you know, Sonny is a very well-known figure, even more well-known. Matt Damon plays you in the movie Air, but that was only 4 months of Sonny's now 85-year-old life. So I think it's just really rich. And for me as a storyteller, it was really a lot of fun because the stories were there. I just had to, you know, shape them and polish them and kind of bring them to life.
Hmm. Is he the most impactful person for the sport of basketball ever?
I'd say he's on the Mount Rushmore. I mean, certainly, you know, Michael Jordan, I think, you know, look, you can look at Phil Knight and say, you know, if it wasn't for Phil's decision to go all in on Jordan and what Jordan meant to the Nike brand. But when you look at paying coaches, the endorsement deals that Sonny did, Jordan, Kobe, T-Mac, Tracy McGrady, and then you look at the Nike camp, the ABCD camp, which was incredibly influential in helping kids that really didn't have opportunities to showcase their skills on a national level. And then you take the O'Bannon case. I mean, that's 4 or 5 really seminal moments right. in the world of sports. So, yeah. And I think, you know, look, I mean, Sonny had a complicated relationship with Phil. A lot of people do. And Phil's a difficult person to understand. He's a genius. And Philly and Sonny will be the first one to call Phil a genius and an absolutely, you know, go back to the word seminal figure in the world of sports. But they had a complicated relationship. And, you know, the book talks about one of the chapters, you know, 14 years with Nike and in a meeting with Phil where Sonny is basically fired in 10 minutes and they separate and go their different directions. But I think it's a really fair, certainly it's Sonny's story. And that's what you have to remember in memoirs like this. This isn't the Armand Katayan book. It's not me on the outside in. it's me channeling Sonny's words and Sonny's experiences onto the written page.
I hate to ask you this question and then also say we don't have much time, Armin, because, man, we love having you on. It's been a good book so far that I've read. I just wonder how much of getting LeBron to Adidas for Sonny would have been a nice little FU to Phil for Sonny in that moment.
Well, it would have been. I mean, they were at odds at that point in time. And that you talk about things that I didn't know. There's this chapter, Betrayal in Malibu, which is fascinating. I mean, LeBron thinking about what Adidas would be today if they had LeBron. And when they were offering, Sonny believed it was going to be $100 million for 10 years. And then he looks at the offer in the room with LeBron and his mom, Gloria, and sees it's $70 million with all these contingencies. And his heart just sinks. He knows it's over. And Nike, to their credit, they didn't waste any time. And they came in and took LeBron. And Sonny will be the first to tell you that, you know, LeBron is it in terms of the face of a sneaker company now. So, yeah, that's another one of those that I was just like, holy moly. I had no idea.
So many great what ifs over the years. Armin Kattan is his name. His latest book is out on bookshelves now. You can go find it, Legends and Souls, the memoir of an American original on Sonny Vaccaro and his legendary life. Armin, we could have this conversation all day. Cannot wait to dive into this book and read it cover to cover. Continued success, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
You bet. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, there you go. Armin Kattan on his latest book, Legends and Souls, the memoir of Sonny Vaccaro.
I don't think you knew Brandon was on the show as well.
No, I got a good question in there, too. You like that? You like that? You put that one on the board.
I made sure he knew both names.
I think when you come out with the gate with such a legendary question like I asked, great question right out of the start, I'm going to stand out.
He piqued his investigative journalistic.
I got his juices flowing.
Started that interview process to get him on the show.
Got his juices flowing, baby.
Read the book.
This is what we do. This is what we do, man. We get their juices flowing over here. Brackets are set. The madness is
here. On the Fan.
Pelican Brewing is ready for tip-off. Today's Daily Ticker brought to you by the independent innovative brewers of the Oregon Coast. Andy and Andy is back with a question on, would you be okay with an athlete doing this? That is next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Good point here at the Fan text line. I think Armin Kattan just knew that NBA Dirt was plugged in. I think he did know that. So, going to get to an NBA story to kick off the final hour here in a matter of moments. Then we'll get to Statter's story. Loaded final hour of Andy and Andy today. How would we feel if an athlete was this honest about our city? So yesterday, the Bengals had a press conference to sign Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins to their extensions.
Quite happy that Ja'Marr Chase.
Very happy. He was grinning ear to ear. And he was asked at the press conference, you know, hey, other than lots of guaranteed money, what made you feel like Cincinnati was home to you? And he had a quote where he said, for me, I like Cincinnati because it gives me the opportunity to come here and focus. You know, not distracted out here. It's not... too many things get me off my pace out here, you know? Strictly what I'm focused on. So it's tunnel vision just to play football. At the end of the day, the food's not the best. We can work on that. But, you know, I'm from New Orleans. I'm not used to the food yet. He essentially just took a steaming dump all over the city. There's nothing to do. Nothing gets me off focus.
Food's
and
terrible.
The food sucks. So other than that, what do you like about Cincinnati? Would be okay. Would we be okay with a Portland Trailblazer saying this if they signed the extension? What do you like about it here? Well, it rains all the time, so I can't go outside.
How many players have left Portland? I think they have said it. I just don't think they've said it publicly.
They just have said it in their free agent decisions. Yeah. This one was hilarious to me.
I think one, like, you kind of appreciate it, even if you are a homegrown Cincinnati person, are you not? Are you also?
I think you got to be honest about your own city, right?
Are we not aware of our own cities?
You have to be.
How do you live in Cincinnati and you think you're some big beacon of nightlife and
wholesome
food,
Midwest family?
Yeah, I mean, you're known for Skyline chili. You're known for putting chili on spaghetti with a lot of cheese. That's what you're known for.
You watch Roseanne and you feel like one. You are connected to a television show that is speaking to you. Look, there's nothing wrong with this. I would also say, like, if you love Southern New Orleans style food,
New Orleans has incredible. Somebody's been in New Orleans, good food.
Dude, you're the richest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. You could open up your own restaurant now,
ooh,
hire your own chef.
Jamar Chase, Cajun Shack, whatever you want to call it.
Cajun Shack?
The Cajun Shack. I don't know. I'm just coming up with names, right, cooking up names over here.
Basketball Dirt's better than the
I think Armin Kattan would have liked that name a little
sure
bit better.
He wouldn't have.
I think he would have given me two thumbs up.
He can do it. And so he can change the city a little bit to his liking. But also, he's probably right. It probably is nice to be in a city where there's nothing that's really
going
to distract you because
there's going on.
Nothing to do there.
Cincinnati, man. He said, I like it here. I can stay focused. Food's not very good. I'm just kind of tunnel visioned on football. And that was the quote yesterday at his contract extension signing. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. The Daily Ticker has always brought to you by, excuse me, Crunch Time is always brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver online at crunch.com. I want to start with some NBA stuff. Have the robots given us a path and a guidance? We'll start the final hour there. We'll get the Statter story coming up at 8:15. More tournament talk as well in the final hour. It is loaded. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.